They did not find the smugglers that afternoon nor that evening. They flew on through the deepening dusk, which took all the colour out of the countryside, and their sweeps grew more narrow while they peered in every direction for the tiniest glow of a campfire. But there was nothing. The ground cover rapidly thinned out further as the twilight advanced. Even the shrubs had begun to diminish and crouch lower to the ground, small dark lumps as they flew. The only trees to be seen looked dark, stick-like things against the fading sky, much like the brushes Mr. Fellows used for scrubbing the harness buckles or carabiners. Long, thin trunks like young saplings, and a small lump of twiggy branches and small leaves atop. The stars were very bright and clear above, cold and brilliant speckles of light, and the spray of the Milky Way pearly grey in a wide swath. At last they had to give up again, and they settled for the night with somewhat diminished spirits.
"And I'm hungry," Iskierka said irritably.
The hunting had not been as good. But Temre could not feel quite so low as he had yesterday.
"After all, we have nearly caught them twice now," he said. "At least we have seen where they were, and it stands to reason we will get closer tomorrow too, and we do know," he added, "that the egg is well. That alone is worth all our pains."
"Only if by well you mean is not yet broken into bits,"
Iskierka said dampeningly, and curled herself up to sleep. There was no water to drink here, either. The last gleam of water they had seen in the day's flying was some 8 miles back in the distance, and 3 miles sweeping out from the line of the trail. The aviators rationed out cupfuls of water to themselves and the convicts, and smaller ones of rum, which were drunk up first, before the shares of biscuit went about. While they ate, to Temeraire's great dismay, O'Day said quite loudly,
"I expect we won't find them at all, now we've left Jack Tully behind to starve and die. Food for dogs in a strange country. 'Tisn't right, and I have a mind his spirit is following us while his body lies behind rotting. We won't smoke out their trail with a curse upon us. Jack wants company, fellows, in his lonely grave. We'll search, and we'll look, and we'll never find another living soul, though we go until we are all grey and bent as widows."
"Lawrence," Temeraire said in high anxiety after overhearing this, "Lawrence, you do not suppose that might be so at all? I did not think of that when we left. I should never have suggested we go away so quickly if I thought he would curse us to stop our finding the egg."
"I do not suppose," Lawrence said, "and I am surprised, very surprised, my dear, to find you grown so sadly superstitious."
But this offered limited comfort. Privately, Temeraire was forced to admit that Lawrence was unreasonably deadly on the subject of superstition, even though it did not make any sense, as he was equally firm on the subject of the Holy Spirit. Temeraire did not see how one could deny other spirits when you had allowed one.
"Well, I don't think there is anything to it either,"
Roland said, when Temeraire quietly asked her, after Lawrence had gone to discuss their next day's course with Tharkey and Granby.
"I do," Demaine said, examining his wives. "I would haunt us, too, if we had left me behind."
"He might like to," Roland said, "but if a fellow could haunt us, then he ought to be able to do a little more to help us find him in the first place."
"That don't mean anything. Spirits aren't the same as bodies," Demaine said, scornfully dismissive, and Roland did not seem to have an answer for this.
"Anyway, it ain't as though we flew off straight away or left him on purpose,"
Roland said, but this was not a settled thing amongst the men.
"Jack made a fuss, didn't he?"
Bob Maynard said, slurred with rum and not so quietly that he could not be heard, and rolling a significant glance towards Rankin, where he stood speaking with Caesar.
"Sums are high in the instep. Didn't much like him saying what was what, when we're being hauled into the back of beyond. Some here were mighty quick to hurry us off, and not a tear to shed for old Jack."
Though Maynard was given to persuading the other men to game away their rum to him, and while being nearly twice as large as most of the other poor thin convicts, scarcely managed half the work of anyone else, he was endlessly ready to oblige with a song in a fine deep baritone, or an entertaining story. Not at all wont to complain, ordinarily, so the accusation struck with more than ordinary force from him. Temeraire could not easily repress a start of guilt. He had himself thought, for just a moment, though, and not spoken aloud, he excused himself, that it would not be so dreadful not to have Jack Tully along, always complaining.
"Still, it was not on purpose. No one asked him to go away and jump into a pit," Temeraire said, "and we did look for quite some time.
But he could not quite convince himself that Jack Telly would have accepted these arguments, and as it should be his decision whether to haunt them or not, Temeraire could not find any relief. He could only lie down curled very close about the last remaining egg to make sure no malevolent spirits could creep in at it.